Okay, that gets me excited for the race, just hearing that.
Big, big, big day tomorrow in sports. Kentucky Derby is tomorrow. We're throwing a gigantic party. It's the Road Contra with Anna DeVlantis party at Howells and Hood for the Kentucky Derby. Big prizes that we're giving away, including a night stay at the Sheraton Grand Chicago, a Lagunitas beer tour, plus tickets to go see the producers, and tickets to go see Bayern Munich versus AC Milan in that big international soccer match coming to Soldier Field on July 27th. And there will be food. There will be cocktails. We just tried the food on the Carnarvon Wagon. It is amazing.
Oh, outrageous.
And there may actually have been, there might have been some drinks, too. There might be drinking. Well, we'll just have to find out what's going to happen there tomorrow at Howells and Hood right here. Starts at 3 o'clock on the corner of Michigan Avenue and Heaven.
It is.
At the Tribune Tower. Pioneer Court. That's where you got to be if you want to come down for that.
Right behind the Tribune Tower.
No tickets necessary. You come right in and hang out with us. And Anna's going to be there. And Violetta's going to be there. And Judy's going to be there.
Wearing
and Kevin's
going to
be there. And Susan Schmidt's going to be there. And it's going to, and we're going to be, and there's going to be, right.
Come join the fun.
Yeah.
Be fun.
Ron Majors.
I love that song you just played.
Thank you.
Music to
your ears. That's right. That is it. It does bring to people in the horsey types. It does bring a little something, doesn't it?
Call to the post.
Yeah,
chokes you up a little.
Yeah, it does. Wakes me up.
Now
gets me on my toes, ready to break out of the gate.
For two decades, Mr. Majors has been joining me on any iteration of the radio show that I'm involved in, and been helping pick Kentucky Derby picks, because we have a guy that we refer to as Swami.
We do. He's a great handicapper. Remember that just a couple of years ago, he gave us Animal Kingdom in 2011, a $43 winner. And last year, I think we had five of the top seven horses, I think, at the end of the day. So we're going to give you some horses. You kind of got to figure out what you're going to do with them, but we're going to give you Swami's picks. And that will, I guarantee you, it will point you in the right direction.
Now, I want to say this. I went through these yesterday when we received them. Because he does pore over this. And this is a guy who's been in the horse industry for six decades. I mean, he understands this. He owns, he manages partnerships. I mean, here's a guy that can look. And we have both traveled with him. He's a very dear friend of yours. We both traveled with him and stared at horses. And he can stand there and it's interesting because he almost acts like a horse when he sees a horse. He doesn't look him directly in the eye.
He speaks horse.
He kind of looks off him. And then
stomps his foot a couple times, swishes his tail.
Yes, there's some tail swishing. And then he'll turn and he'll say something to me, and I'm not sure it's in English. and I'll be like, what did he? And I'll look at Ron and I go, what did he just say? And Ron goes, listen, this is the problem. The knee is turned in this way or there. You know, he can look. He can see the conformation of the horse to see what it is or how they move or how they're breathing. I mean, and then in a race, the things that guys like Swami look for in a race, the little things that they see, the twitching of the muscles that they see at speed, right? Because it's 35, 40 miles an hour that a horse is moving.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like Lakeshore Drive, right?
He's got a great, great eye. And the way I would describe it, Anna, is that if you were to watch, say the swimsuit competition at the Miss Universe pageant, you know, a casual observer might say, okay, there's a bunch of women in swimsuits. But as they walk by, you would see something different in each one of them.
Sure.
About their body, about the way they walked. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people look at horses, they see a bunch of horses. But they are as individual as those women in those swimsuits. Even though we all try for that perfection, even when they're all turned out as well as they can be turned out, there still are those differences that can be seen.
Like how they walk.
How they hold themselves, everything about them. Their body types are very different. You know, some are a little long and lean. Some of them are short coupled. They look more like a quarter horse than a thoroughbred. They look very, very different when you learn what to look for.
You know, Ron, as I'm learning more and more, being exposed to Roe as much as I am about horse racing.
Oh, and Ron just laughed in the middle of his head right there.
Roe's not an authority? To me, he is, because I
says
know
he
very
is.
Little. But, you know, one of the other things I've learned about, and I would like to have some education on this, and others may find it interesting too, is the post positions were announced, and I immediately saw all these articles about, okay, why this matters, the post position, and where Nyquist is going to be located and why that's good or bad, and everybody was weighing in. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, here's the simplest thing. Those in the lower post positions, especially the number one, is really kind of a you don't want to be there. The ones in the lower post positions, 1, 2, 3, if you think about it, there are 20 horses all lined up. If those down in the 1, 2, 3 don't get out quickly, all the other horses come over on top of them and get closer to the rail, and they kind of get swamped. And those in the far outside of, say, 15 or so, they have farther to run to get to the first turn if they're trying to get down near the rail, which we're all trying to do, which is the left-hand side. They're way out on the far right-hand side. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, what they do in track and field when they have events is they stagger the start so that all the athletes run the same distance. We don't stagger the start with horse racing. The ones on the outside are going to literally have to run farther than the ones in the middle or the ones on the inside. Here's the thing about the Derby. 20 horses, it's a cavalry charge coming out of there. Mm-hmm. None of these horses has ever raced in a field of 20 horses before, and almost none of them ever will again, except this one day when 20 horses come out of the gate at the same time, and all kinds of things can happen, and some horses will lose the race in the first 100 yards after the gate pops open.
And you can tell. Right?
Yep. Yeah.
You guys could tell. I couldn't tell.
You see them get swamped. You see horses also get they don't respond very well. You can see what the jockey's trying to do to work them to get them to move laterally and whether they're responding to it or not. And also weather plays a big role in this stuff because horses, you know, these are 3-year-old horses, right? So they've been professionally racing around a track, most of them for fewer than 12 months. Right. Anywhere from 9 months, 8 months, 7 months, 6 months. Some of these horses, you know, for just 4 or 5 months.
Yeah. Most of these horses started their career sometime this past summer in August, September, some of as late as October.
Right. So this is but what we also have is the ability of horses to get mad at things. And they do if they're getting mud kicked up into their face or they're they have a lot of company around them. That they're not used to being around, or the sound when they make that turn toward home, the sound of the crowd roaring at them, all of those things have an impact on horses that are, you know, Ron always likes to make this comparison that these are like college athletes about to go to the pros. And so you got to think about that. What's the difference in maturity level between a college athlete and a professional athlete? And that's sort of the same thing with a horse, right?
Absolutely. And it is interesting at the Derby because it has happened before where when horses make that final turn toward the home stretch, the crowd is screaming and it's like a wall of sound hits you in the face. No horse has ever heard that before.
Wow.
And some of them will have a bad reaction to it. But, you know, the best of them will run right through it and try not to pay any attention. But there are so many things that can happen in the Derby that it's not only who's the best 3-year-old on the first Saturday in May, it's sometimes who's good and the luckiest 3-year-old on Saturday in May.
Yeah, because there's a lot of luck in this race because there's so much traffic in it, right? And there's also things that happen, you know, beforehand and I mean there's shyness is not really the right word, but or stage fright, but you know, again, I want you to describe this because this is one of the most interesting things that I learned being around this for the last 10 years is that there's a term that go, well, that's a professional horse or that's a, you know, horse that knows how to do their business or whatever it is. And they do. There are horses that understand what they're doing better than others.
Job.
Right.
And it is always interesting to see how horses develop because there are some horses that take a while to learn their game. There's a horse in this race who imagine this made it to the Kentucky Derby, and I really like him a little bit. The 3-horse Creator.
Mm-hmm.
It took Creator 6 tries to win his first race, and then he runs 3rd in a graded stake race, a Grade 2, which is a big deal, and then he wins a Grade 1, the Arkansas Derby. 6 tries to win his first race. And then he emerges in the next 2 races as one of the best horses in the country. Just it took him, we don't know whether it took him that long to grow up or it took him that long to get his mind together, or maybe he had some slight physical issues. We don't know what that was about. We just know it's really unusual.
Right, because they can't tell us. I've asked.
You've asked them?
I've asked.
You're not a horse whisperer?
And I'm going to just say them right now. And I've had at least one of our horses try to actually take a little bit of me with him.
Ooh.
Because he just got a little close.
I can't imagine you're on horses with all the hygiene issues and the poop that must be around in the when you're visiting horses.
Yeah, there's poop. But there's people for that.
Good. I'm glad that you're not
horses,
exposed to
horses
that.
Are actually, at least racehorses, are kept very, very clean. They go out in the morning and exercise. When they come back in, they get a bath. They get dried off. They get walked until they're cooled out. And while all that's happening, their stall is cleaned out. It's like the maid coming and changing your sheets while you're out for breakfast in the morning.
Yeah, you're mucking the stall.
Out. There's fresh, clean stall. There's nice new food for them. They live a pretty good life.
They actually do. But you know what? But the studs live the best life. The horses that go stand in stallion farms are that I mean they each get an acre, they get like air conditioned and like they're grapes, you know, delivered to them on trays.
American Pharaoh's very happy right now, what you're saying.
Actually in two partnerships, I have two broodmares right now pregnant by American Pharaoh.
Wow. That's gotta be
amazing. Very exciting. Very exciting.
I'm not part of that. Am I part of that?
You didn't get in on that one?
I didn't get in on that one. Although we don't know. You know, that's an interesting thing because just because they were great on the track does not necessarily mean that they're going to throw great offspring.
No.
So that'll be very interesting to see what happens.
Seattle Slough, for example, who a name everybody kind of knows, was kind of a bust as a sire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And actually, even Secretariat, it was really Secretariat's offspring that became, you know, sort of skipped a little bit of a generation.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Now. We're going to get to the picks, but I got to take a quick timeout first. Do you mind if I do
that?
You know how we do that in broadcasting, Ron?
I know how we do that.
Coming up right after this, Ron tells you who is going to be there at the end of the race in the Kentucky Derby tomorrow, at least according to Swami.
Swami will tell us.
But first, Violetta Biomedics got the WGN traffic trouble spots.
Weekday mornings, 4 to 10, it has everything you need to know and some things you just need to see. WGN-TV Morning News, Chicago's must-watch morning news.
Here's the moment we've all been waiting for. Tomorrow's the Kentucky Derby, and horse soothsayer Ron Majors is standing by on the Super Celebrity Hotline. And by the way, I know we've said this to you before on this show, and we'll say it again. Congratulations on ending 51 years of broadcasting coming up in just a few weeks.
Yeah, it is very exciting. I'm sure at some point I'll get reflective and maybe even sad for a moment, but right now I'm giddy.
Thinking of all the things you're going to do.
Yeah, I'm really, and people don't get it, but you will, Anna, and you've actually had a chance to do it a little bit on occasion.
I have.
You know, that when you can actually spend a day without looking at the clock.
Or, enjoy dinner with your family, and that's not always easy to do with the hours. You're blessed to do what you do, and I get it, but then to be able to.
And as you all well know as broadcasters, what I'm most grateful for is how many people get to walk away when they want, how they want.
Absolutely. Well, you're my hero.
That'll never happen to me. I can tell you that right now. I'll be holding on with my cold, dead hands. Hey! Hey! I'll be the last guy on radio. I'll turn the lights out.
I'm still here.
All right. The Kentucky Derby. Here are Swami's picks.
Here's what the Swami says. The Swami is, these are the six horses he thinks really have a chance to win. Now, there are several other horses underneath these that if you were going to bet trifectas or superfectas that he'd be using. But he's got it down to six horses that he gives a real chance to win. And number six of those would be Mohaman. Mm-hmm. And this is a horse who had a bad performance in the Florida Derby, but he's going to forgive that and hope he'll come back in good form for this.
Why are we forgiving that?
Well, because the horse had been running real well up till then, and occasionally a horse will just throw a bad effort. We all have a bad day. And sometimes you just put a line through that race and say, okay, forget that one. He's a good horse. He'll be back. Number five on his picks, the fifth of his picks, happens to be number five, Gunrunner. And I really like this one. He's being ridden by a jockey named Florent Giroux, French-born, but he rode here in Chicago for a good number of years. He's had a couple of great years now riding on the national scene, and he's actually ridden winners for partnerships that Roe and I have been in. So we're rooting hard for Florent and the number five horse, Gunrunner. The Swami's fourth pick is number 13, Nyquist, who will be the favorite. He's done nothing wrong so far, and he deserves to be the favorite. But Swami and I agree that this is a year we think you can beat the favorite. His third pick is number 4, Mo Tom. Now, he's had trouble in some of his previous races, but if he gets a clean trip, hard as that is to do in the Kentucky Derby, Swami thinks he's got a big chance. The second choice, so far as Swami is concerned, is number 19. Now, it's difficult coming from that far outside post, but Brody's Cause is a really good horse. He ran third in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last fall to Nyquist, and we're told by people at Churchill Downs that he's working out really, really well down there. So both Swami and I really like this horse. And Swami's first pick, mm-hmm. one he thinks has the best chance to win, is a West Coast horse, Exaggerator, number 11. Now, I know from knowing Swami all these years that he's never been struck on West Coast horses coming out to win the Derby, but it does happen. We have seen it happen recently.
Yes. I think the Triple Crown winner, right? Yeah. Didn't he win in Santa Anita? Yeah.
So Swami says number 11, Exaggerator, is the one he gives as the best chance to win the Derby. Those are his top six, and he's been very, very good at this. I would add, I happen to like, in addition, number 9, Destin, and number 3, Creator. I just think they have big chances to get up there if they get the right trip. Now, here's the thing about the Derby. The real bettors and handicappers aren't going to make a bet until they see some races run, because the racetrack can be different every day. If horses get to the front and stay there, that's a speed-favoring track, and you tend to bet horses that can get to the lead. If horses are coming from behind, and it's a fair racetrack, and it gives horses from behind a fair chance, then you're going to bet horses that have a little better chance to close. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, if this is a fair racetrack, those are the picks of Swami that he gives a big chance to win the race.
And Swami, because of his connectivity to Ron Majors, would he put even a dollar on Sudden Breaking News just because of the name?
You know, all of us are laughing about that name a little bit. Actually, Richard Roper wants to do an exact to bet them to run 1 and 2. That would be Sudden Breaking News and Oscar nominated.
I like that.
Well, you know what? It's Derby Day. You can bet a number. You can bet a name. You can bet the colors the jockey is wearing. You can bet any way you want, and you're going to have some fun. I do believe that their slogan is correct. For me, it's the greatest 2 minutes in sports.
Mm. No question about it.
Now I'm even more excited.
No question about it. By the way, no one asked me, but...
Oh, you're going to give us your picks, Rob?
Yes, but I'm going to give you the superfecta.
Okay.
Box it, because I don't know how this is going to end.
Okay.
But it's going to be Exaggerator, Creator, Nyquist, and Majesto.
You know what? I'm so happy you mentioned Majesto. I'm rooting for Majesto. I happen to, in a partnership, own a half-sister to Majesto, who is a broodmare. So if Majesto shows well, it greatly enhances that pedigree. So I'm rooting for you.
Why is he in all the ones that are making money? That's what I want to know.
And are you in any of those,
bro? I've got to figure it out. I don't know what he did. Something happened here that isn't right. I got to wake up from this nightmare. Donald Trump is a presumptive nominee, and Ron's
your horses are winning
every other partnership. All right. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, Ron.
You know, Ro, it's kind of like, why don't I just bet a win ticket on every horse in the race, and then, you know, I got a winner.
I'm a winner, right. What could possibly go wrong there? All right. Well, some people do that. Some people pull the $2 tickets for every horse because they want to, if they want
to
have all three
souvenir.
They want to have a souvenir.
Yeah, I still have a $2 win ticket at home from Seattle Slough. I was at that Derby, and I saved that $2 win ticket.
Oh, cool. Exactly. And you brought me one from American Pharoah from the Derby last year.
Exactly, from the Belmont.
Giving to my daughter.
From the Belmont last year.
Belmont, I'm sorry.
That was a Triple Crown win right there. Mm-hmm. I got to stand there and watch that happen. And I laughed, I screamed, and I cried all in the same second. I don't even know how I did that.
Did you wet your pants?
I might have also wet my pants, yes. And then I was hot walked afterwards, like Ron's describing, where they cooled me down and then they showered me with something. All right, thank you, Ron.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
All right, there he goes. The great Ron Major. See him tonight at 10 o'clock on ABC 7 News. I'm assuming. I don't know. Maybe he's already quit.
He does what he wants. Yeah.
Come get me, coppers.